My name is Emily, and I'll be the moderator for this session. The name of the session is Creating Raving Fans with Your Clients, and I'd like to introduce you to our speaker. Her name is Tracy Dowdy. She's consulted with over 100 practices nationwide, is a certified veterinary practice manager, and she serves on the board of directors for the AVPMCA. She's been published in local and national veterinary journals, as well as being a contributing author of Management Basics for Veterinarians, and has spoken at local, regional, and national veterinary meetings. Please welcome her.
Thank you, Emily. All right, so what we're going to talk about this section is how to create raving fans with our clients. How to create an environment in your practice where your clients are going out and talking about you to their friends, their families, their neighbors. How to create an exceptional experience for your clients. That's what we're going to discuss in this section. So where do new clients come from? 51% of new clients come by referral and 45% come by location. So that's 96%, and the other 4% or so comes from, or 10% or so comes from Yellow Pages, roadside, newspaper ad, and direct mail. So how do you create referrals in your practice? You create referrals by giving your clients exceptional experiences every time they come into your practice. Are you doing that with your healthcare team? Your clients have exceptional experiences every time they come into your practice. How many of you have referral bonus programs implemented right now in your hospital? About a fourth of you. Good. You need to be doing that because you need to be asking for referrals. 51% of new clients come by referral. That means when they come into your practice, they thoroughly enjoy the experience that they have, they're satisfied with the service that you've provided, and they're going out and telling others about your practice. So you need to create an environment where you're creating raving fans with your clients. I'm going to give you guys a pop quiz regarding, these are the five basic elements of customer service. You've got tangibles, which is the physical appearance of your facility. You have reliability, that's the ability to provide what's been promised. Be who you say you are, do what you say you're going to do. Responsiveness, this is willingness to help and how quickly you get something done for a client. Assurance is knowledge, courtesy, and trust. And empathy is caring, individualized attention. Which one do you think is most important to our customers? How many think it's empathy? Raise your hand. And I hear that often. Many people think it's empathy. Actually, empathy is second to the last in order of priority. Reliability is the most important element. All five of these elements, by the way, are important to customers. You need to be providing all five of these. You need to have a wonderful facility that is impressive and clean and inviting to your clients. Your clients need to be able to trust you. You need to be able to provide compassionate care. But the number one thing that customers want from you is reliability. Be who you say you are and do what you say you're going to do, and they want some consistency in what you're providing. And they want it done in a responsive manner. How long does a client want to be in an outpatient visit? From the point they walk in the door to the point they leave. I think 18 to 32 minutes. So how are you doing in that regard? I mean, I think that's a short amount of time, but that's been surveyed. So reliability and responsiveness. Now, yesterday I talked a little bit about the Ritz-Carlton experience. How many of you have had an exceptional five-star experience, whether it was at a restaurant or a hotel? Raise your hand if you've ever experienced that. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing experience. My family, we went to the Adolphus Hotel in Dallas for Mother's Day weekend. And it was just amazing. They had the same Ritz-Carlton training, just like the Hyatt and the Marriott have it. Disney has it. There's many corporations out there that have this exceptional client service training that they do with all of their employees. And I'm a firm believer that that's what we need to do in veterinary practice. We need to create a set of standards with our healthcare team so that when our clients walk into our practice, they get that Ritz-Carlton experience. We went to the Adolphus Hotel for Mother's Day, and when we got to the hotel, there were a couple of things that, and we waited sort of the last minute to book this. My husband did. And when we got up to the counter to check in, my husband said to the clerk, we really wanted to get a suite, and when we tried to book it, you didn't have anything available. And she said, Mr. Dowdy, let me take a look at that. And she says, we actually have one available, and I'm going to keep it at the same rate of what the standard room was. We were like, wow, great, thank you. And then we actually said, we also wanted to make reservations. We tried to make reservations for the French room, but they didn't have anything available. She said, hold on one moment, Mr. Dowdy. Let me check on that for you and see if there's been any cancellations. She stops what she's doing. She gets on the phone. She dials the French room, which is in the hotel, and she says, I have the Dowdys standing here, and they'd like a reservation for three. And she comes back, and she says, how would 6:30 sound? And it was 6 o'clock in the evening. We were like, perfect. So we get up to our room, we get everything settled, and we go downstairs into the French room, and we have Haley with us, and we're looking at the menu, and Haley loves steak, but she likes baked potato with her steak. Well, they didn't have baked potato on the menu. It was all this, foo-foo, gourmet stuff, And I said, well, why don't you just get the corn souffle? You'll probably like the corn souffle. Why don't you just get that? And she's like, Mom, I don't want corn souffle. I don't want any of that stuff. I want a baked potato. And she's saying this in front of the waiter. And I said, no, let's just go with the corn souffle. You'll do fine with that. And so they bring us the dinner, and they come with this loaded baked potato with everything on it. And I said to them, well, I thought you guys didn't have baked potato. He goes, well, we really didn't, but I went way over on the other side of the hotel to the other restaurant, and I got one ordered for her because that's what she wanted. And, then the next day we went to the Mother's Day buffet, and they were giving out little La Poche gift boxes for all the mothers. And, the experience that you have in these hotels is just absolutely amazing. They use your name constantly, Miss Dowdy. Welcome to the Ritz-Carlton. Can I get you some more wine, Miss Dowdy? They use your name. Everyone in the hotel has been trained to have positive body language and to use words of elegance and be able to meet the needs of the hotel guests. And so do you provide that type of experience for your clients? Have you trained your healthcare team to give that type of experience for your clients? If not, I highly recommend that you do that. Let's talk about some ways to turn our clients into raving fans. I talked about in the last session, we need to set standards in our practice and train our healthcare team to those standards. And I'm going to talk a lot more about this in the next two sessions. But like the Ritz-Carlton and Disney and Marriott, they have standards of service. Their three steps of service are, we greet every hotel guest with eye contact and a smile. Step number two, we're here to meet their needs. And I think so many times in veterinary practice, and I've seen this when I was a manager in practices that I consult, that the healthcare team sometimes gets put out by clients when that phone is ringing off the wall or too many clients come on all at one time. And even doctors seem to get put out because of the clients coming in 30 minutes before we close. And we communicate a message to our team members that we don't really like clients. We don't really want them there. But one of the steps of service that the Ritz-Carlton has is we are here to meet our clients' needs. We need to take the word no out of our vocabulary. We need to find ways to say yes to our clients. Their third step of service is we bid a fond farewell to every hotel guest that comes in. They have standards of communication where they teach their hotel employees to use words of elegance like certainly, my pleasure, good morning, good evening, you're welcome. I'm happy to do that for you. And they teach them to take words out of their vocabulary such as, I don't know, uh-huh, yeah, whatever. They teach them to communicate in a way that shows that they appreciate their hotel guests. They have standards of image where they dress these folks up in tuxedos and suits and they put on a professional image. And you know, that builds the self-esteem of those employees. When you implement a uniform policy with your healthcare team, not only does it exude a real professional image from the client's eyes, but it also makes that employee feel good about what they're doing because of the way they're dressed. And it instills confidence in what that client, when that client is communicating with that employee. The one way to create raving fans is by setting standards in your practice and training your healthcare team to those standards. We need to underpromise and overdeliver with our clients. Do you do that? Do you underpromise and overdeliver? Deliver what you said you would and more. People expect you to deliver results. Surprise them by also going the extra mile over and over again. So do you go the extra mile with your clients? I'm just going to give you guys some ideas of some things that you can do to go the extra mile with your clients so that you can create those raving fans with your clients. Do you train your staff to introduce them to every new client? Actually shake the client's hand and introduce themselves to your clients. I mean, so many times I've walked in place of business, and actually in my own doctor's office, the nurse does not introduce herself. And it really irritates me because she walks in and she puts a thermometer in my mouth, starts, you know, checking my pulse, my blood pressure. And I want to say, and who are you? And what are you doing to me? I think it's so much more professional for those healthcare team members to introduce themselves to the client. Now they've developed a relationship with that client because now you're not just a body working in the veterinary practice. You've actually developed a relationship and a rapport because now they know who this person is and that what their plan is while they're in the practice. Do you send thank you notes to your clients for choosing you to care for their pets? What about taking digital pictures of all your patients and inserting on the invoices and all the handouts that you give your clients? People love pictures of their pets. These are their babies. How many of you guys do that? Excellent. Good. I'm sure there's other things you guys could give the group, some ideas. What about providing refreshments for all your clients while they're waiting? How many of you do that? Good. I had a woman say a few weeks ago, every time the bill is more than $300 at the time of checkout, they'll go over the bill with them and they'll say, would you like a Kit Kat or a Snickers bar? So there's something about handing that chocolate over to the client after you've given them their bill, that it just kind of diffuses the whole fact that they're paying that kind of money for their services. Especially if it's women. I don't know, there's something about women and chocolate. We just like it. We love chocolate. And so offering chocolate to your clients at the time of checkout is a great way to create a raving fan. My daughter has braces, and she has the orthodontist that I take her to is just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal in creating raving fans. When we walk in to their office, They have a refreshment stand with fresh coffee and coffee cups with their practice logo printed on it and pound cake. And they have a little sign there that says, you know, please take the coffee cup with you after, you know, you keep it. And then they have a basket of like tropical flavor chapstick. And anybody can take the chapstick with them. And then they have a little sign at the desk that says, please let us know if you've been waiting longer than 10 minutes. And then they have a little computer sitting in the reception area that as patients come in, they check themselves in. It's just a little monitor, and they go in and there's just, you know, they just push enter on the keyboard, and it lists all of the patients that have appointments, and they just arrow down to their name and they click on it, and then that's how they check themselves in. And as my daughter leaves the orthodontist, she gets little coins to put in a drawing to win a, you know, a big, you know, jar of candy or, you know, a trip somewhere. It's just amazing the things that they do over and over and over to create raving fans with their clients, and they do an exceptional job. So you have to get creative in those experiences. And people want to feel special. They want to feel pampered when they come in with their pets. Do you celebrate the bond that people have with their pets? As the pet advocate, we've got to inform our clients about the needs of their pets. When we do that, when we educate our clients and we empower our healthcare team to educate clients about the needs of their pets, we are building that bond that they have with their pet. And the client's going to feel good about the fact that they did the right thing. And I think so many times we do not take the time to educate clients thoroughly all of the needs that their pets have because we're busy, we get rushed, it gets crazy in our day, and we do not take the time to do that. And I think that if you want to create raving fans with your clients, we need to be educating. And it starts at the reception desk. It starts in the exam room with your veterinary assistants, your technicians, and with the veterinarians. How many of you post pictures of your clients' pets on the walls of your practice? People love that. They love to see their pets' pictures hanging on your walls. I have a client in Houston, Texas, and they actually have professional portraits down all of the hallways of all of their clients' pets. And it's just remarkable. It's very, very impressive. What about on your website, putting pictures of your pets, clients' pets on websites? Good. Follow up. How many of you call your clients after their wellness visit just to check in with them? Excellent. Never make the client call you regarding the status of their pet. I'll go into practices and I'll hear the doctor say, call me if they don't get any better. Or call me and let me know how they're doing in a week or in 10 days. Don't make the client do that. You call in a week or in 10 days. When I was at my dentist and had a root canal done, he called me at 10 o'clock that night and said, I just want to check on you and see how you're doing. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe he called and checked on me. Those are, when you do that sort of follow-up and you call, and it doesn't have to be the veterinarian, you can delegate that to healthcare team members. I think that if a pet is coming in for any sort of procedure or surgery, there's 3 points of contact with that client. When they come in the morning and check in, right after the procedure is finished, you call the client and let them know we've finished the procedure. You give them the status of the patient, and then at the time of discharge. And I think the veterinarian should be involved at least one of those 3 contact times. The veterinarian does need to be involved and communicate with that client. But I think they need to have follow-up on all 3 of those visits. When you have an animal come in for a procedure, I don't think they should just be admitted with the reception team. I think they need to be put in a room. They need to be talked to. They need to, the healthcare team, the veterinary assistant or technician can do a cursory exam, answer all the client's questions, go over the necessary information regarding pre-anesthetic blood work and pain medication and what's going to take place, get the necessary forms signed. And then after the procedure's over with, actually call the client and let them know. I mean, many clients are sitting at their office, you know, patting their foot, waiting for that procedure to be finished because they're worried and they're nervous about their pet going under anesthesia. And we don't even call them and let them know that the procedure went fine, everything's normal, client is waking up from anesthesia. It's a great time for the surgical technician to go over some of the release instructions, the discharge information, the medications. So then in the afternoon when it gets really busy, you're not having to go over all of that for the first time. I think you should go over it again, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same person. It could be another technician, the evening technician. So always be proactive in calling the client after procedures and your visits to your practice. How many of you have the 3R system implemented in your practice? A couple of you. This is recall, recheck, remind. And every client should fall under one of these 3 R's. Every single client should fall under one of those three R's. So we can follow up with our clients. That's how you create a raving fan. If they see that you're proactive in following up with them and contacting them, they're going to be satisfied and they're going to have an exceptional experience in your practice. I have some practices that just have a stamp that they put on their medical record in red, and it has the three R's, remind, recall, recheck, and it gets checked every time. So we know, how are we going to follow up with this client? Are they going to be called? Are they going to be sent a reminder? Or do we need to schedule a recheck visit in the next week or 2 weeks? Enjoy a cup of coffee with Fido. City Pet Supply in Dallas, Texas. I was asked to be part of I was interviewed by the Dallas Business Journal regarding a veterinarian in Dallas who invested over $1 million for a pet supply shop that was a retail store, but it was a coffee house, a pet food bar with holistic food, and a store with hard-to-find pet accessories. And it was a place where they could bring their dogs, have a cup of coffee. They had whole foods for their pets. And the person interviewed me, she said, what do you think? Do you think this will be a successful business? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely it will. People being able to bring their pet in, have a cup of coffee, be able to buy, you know, neat accessories for their pets. I mean, $43 billion a year is spent on pets. But yet we're not tapping into a lot of that. Where is it, you know, where is it going? This is an upscale retail store in a high-end area in Dallas, and this guy is thriving. He's doing very well. It's next door to his veterinary practice. And he's celebrating the bond that people have with their pets by having this emotional connection with their clients and creating an environment where they're celebrating that bond and they're building that bond that they have with their pets. What about luxury boarding? How many of you have luxury boarding in your practices? Not many of you. Doggy daycare is great, is excellent for our clients. I have some practices that provide spa services where they, you know, give massage and, you know, special baths with special shampoo, special combing, yappy hour where they pay extra to take the dogs out and have frosty paws. Any of you guys know what frosty paws are? It's like the ice cream treat for dogs, and they let other dogs come out together and they have frosty paws together, and they charge additional costs to have these services while their pet is boarding. Extra walks, sending home report cards where the clients are able to hear about how their pet did while they were boarding. These are great ways to develop raving fans with your clients. What about a comfort room? How many of you have comfort rooms or consultation rooms in your practice? About a fourth of you? This is an excellent way to let your clients know that you care about them, and it's a quiet place for them to go with their pets when they're trying to make tough decisions about their pets. And they're you know, many clients are coming in and they're scared. They're not sure what's going to take place with their pet. They don't know how it's all going to turn out, and many times we don't have a place for them to go where they can just sit and feel comfortable and make some decisions about their pet. And this is a great way. I've had some practices that have actually turned doctor's offices into a comfort room where they painted the room, they put a sofa in there, put an extra telephone in the room so that clients can go in there and they're able to, you know, make decisions about their pets or have that last 20 minutes alone with their pet before they need to say goodbye. It's a great place to have a consultation with the doctor. Can go in and have you know, discussions with clients when they're trying to make decisions about the needs of their pets, and they're going over, you know, aftercare instructions and things like that. When you provide that type of environment for your clients, you're creating some exceptional experiences for them. But I think sometimes we just don't focus on those things, and we don't look at our practice and what we're providing them through the eyes of our clients. Sometimes you need to just take a step back and get your team together and do some strategic planning on how can we create raving fans with our clients. What are some of the things we can do that just gives them that added touch and gives them a feeling of, wow, my veterinarian is so awesome. I'm going to go out and tell everyone to go to them. Home delivery. I think we get real nervous about some of the internet companies that are providing prescription medications and those types of things. But research shows really what the people are wanting. It's not about cost with our clients. That's not why they're using some of these internet pharmacies. They're using them because of the convenience. They like to be able to get on the internet and order their prescription medications or their pet food and have some sort of home delivery. Do you provide that with your clients? I mean, there's some great companies that are veterinary-centered and that are centered around our profession that are excellent in helping you make that happen. What about your hours of operation? Do you have hours of operation that are focused on serving your clients and your patients? Or is it more focused on serving the doctors and staff? Are you closed during lunch? Yes. What was your question? The question was, don't you need to have a happy marriage for both? You want to be able to keep your team happy and satisfied with your hours of operation and also be able to have your clients happy and satisfied. And I agree. I think there is a happy balance. Absolutely. And that's where you as a leader have to decide where are you going to put your focus and in determining. But again, we've got to focus on how are we serving our clients? I mean, I've identified in so many practices different ways they've been telling their clients no and they didn't even realize it. I had a client in San Jacinto, California, and they just did not have, it was not a high quality veterinary area with regard to the quality of medicine. This veterinarian, it was a husband and wife team, they came in and they were really, really progressive in the quality of medicine that was being provided in the practice. And they decided to open up their hours of operation because it was a bedroom community. A lot of people were commuting 20, 30 minutes away to another area. And so they opened much earlier in the morning. I believe they opened like at 6:30 in the morning, and they were open until 7 in the evening. And the husband worked Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the wife worked Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And they doubled their staff. And they changed the way they scheduled appointments. They implemented high-density scheduling. So they started scheduling by exam room. And they grew 40% in the first month, just by changing their hours of operation and opening up their appointment book. So there was a tremendous amount of clients that wanted to come into their practice, but they'd been telling them no by the way they were scheduling their appointments and their hours of operation. How do you schedule like that without making the client having to wait? And I think it's about empowering the healthcare team. I think so many times we're one doctor and one technician. Yeah, that's not going to work. That is not going to work. You need 2 to 3 technical team members serving that veterinarian in order to implement high-density scheduling. You need the support staff that are leveraged and knowledgeable, and they've been empowered to do 80% of the client transaction in the practice. It's not going to happen with one technician and one veterinarian. You're not going to be able to implement that type of workflow. Yes. Her question was, what exactly do I mean when I say high-density scheduling? Is it seeing appointments every 15 minutes? No, not necessarily. I mean, you have to determine how much time it's going to take to see the appointment based on the reason for the visit. And you have to train your client care specialist team to be able to schedule appointments accordingly. But you book by exam room. So let's say, for example, you have 3 or 4 exam rooms in your practice. then you've got three to four columns on your appointment book. So it's opened up multidimensionally on your appointment book, but you're not going to schedule, for example, three very sick dogs all at the 9 o'clock hour. Because that's just going to be overwhelming for one veterinarian to be able to multitask in all three of those exam rooms. You have to train your healthcare team to know how to book appointments. So, for example, at the 9 o'clock hour, you have, say, for example, a sick case. And then in the next exam room, you have a recheck. And then in the next room, it's maybe a second puppy visit. And those increment appointments are based on, you know, what the doctor has determined as a standard for, like, a sick visit may be a 30-minute appointment. A recheck may be a 15-minute appointment. And the second puppy visit may be a 20-minute appointment. So you standardize that in your practice, but the issue is you have a healthcare team that is multitasking. They're going in the room, they're getting the room prepared, and the doctor is only in the room 20% of the time, and the healthcare team is doing the other 80%. And so now you're opening up your appointment scheduler so that you're really increasing your capacity to service your clients and grow the amount of clients you see on a daily basis. Yes. He said, with high-density scheduling, how do you deal with the late appointment? I just think that you need to figure out a way to make it happen. I mean, I think that when people come in and they're late, I think there's a professional way of saying, oh, Mrs. Jones, that looks like your appointment was for 9 o'clock. It's 9:30. Let me work you in just as quickly as I possibly can. So that Mrs. Jones, you've communicated with her. She's going to anticipate the fact she may have to wait a little longer than she normally would. But if you have gotten your team in a mode of multitasking and doing high-density scheduling, you're going to be able to work that client in. So what are your hours of operation? And you need to take some time to think about that with your healthcare team. Are you meeting your client's needs in your area? Yes. I would say 4 to 6 full-time equivalent employees per. If you really want to leverage your healthcare team and increase your capacity to grow, I think you need to surround yourself with a minimum of 4 employees per veterinarian. Yes. I'm including front desk and kennel staff. Yes. Another way to create raving fans with your clients is surveying your clients. Let's find out what they think about your practice. How many of you survey your clients on an annual basis? On an annual basis. Okay. Just about a fourth of you. There's some different ways that you can survey clients. One way is just giving them a phone call after their visit. Someone asked me in the last session about holding your team members accountable. This is a great way to hold your team members accountable and asking them some standardized questions. Mrs. Jones, we just want to call and follow up and thank you so much for taking the time to come into our practice and allowing us to serve you and Buffy yesterday. And I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about the level of service that you were provided when you came into our hospital. When you called on the phone, was our client care specialist polite and friendly and answered all of your questions? When you walked into the door, were you greeted immediately with a smile and eye contact? Did you have to wait very long when you came in for your visit, or were you seen on time? Did our technician introduce themselves and shake your hand, or, you know, ask you questions about the history of your pet? Did they discuss dentistry or heartworm preventative? I mean, you have to decide what the questions are based on the specific visits. But, wow, talk about learn some things about whether your team are really doing the things that you're talking about and your standards. You could really identify the things you need to work on with your staff. Another thing you could do is send out postcards to new clients and getting their information. And then also just sending out client surveys to all of your active clients, all of your clients that have been in your practice in the last 12 months, sending them a survey asking them about your fees, asking them about your hours of operation, asking them about the services that they've received in your practice, additional services that they would like in your practice. And you're able to get a better understanding of when you do get with your team members and you start doing some strategic planning, what are some of the things we need to do to improve our practice and we need to implement in our practice so that we have those exceptional experiences with our clients? Yes? What type of return? Usually, if you get 30% return, that's good. Would anybody else have any other comment on that, on return? Has anyone gotten better than that? How many do annual? Yes. He said new client postcards they send with. Oh, it's an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Okay. But you provide it with a stamp. He said they get a 70% return. Excellent. Absolutely. I mean, they're your clients. And do they typically come back and have repeat visits? That's a little bit unique situation. But I definitely would try and differentiate who are the ones that are locals and that live there and definitely contact those folks. Your question was, we get recordings often. How many times do you call back to try and get a real person to ask that question? I wouldn't spin your wheels doing that often. I think that sometimes can be a waste of time for your healthcare team. I would say one or two times, and then I would move on to the next client. I'm sure, yeah. So when you have satisfied clients, they will buy more and more from you. It's a lot easier to continue to promote your services to your existing clients. It costs less money to do that in your practice. So, you know, many times we spend all these advertising dollars going out trying to attract new clients when in reality, our existing clients, we're not maximizing our existing client base. How many of you monitor the visitation rate of your existing clients? Very few of you. You need to be monitoring that. And there is a formula that you can do to, in, you know, a lot of the practice management softwares, you can run reports and identify how many times are your clients coming into your practice on an annual basis. Three to five times is a good number. Yes. Electronic client communications, I think that's excellent. There's actually been some research that shows that people are sometimes will be more compliant with electronic communication. Email reminders and sending out all different types of communications via email, they're more likely to respond and comply quicker than snail mail. I mean, we're just becoming a different people. I don't know about you, but I mean, when I don't have my email access, I'm not very happy. Yeah, he said staff cost is so much less. Absolutely. You're not having to pay for postage. I mean, I would not get away from snail mail. I mean, you definitely need to do that because your clients, obviously there are those that don't have internet access and do not do email, but I have seen research that shows, I don't know if you guys are familiar with VetInsight and Pet Portals, but that's a great client communication tool, and they do email reminders and that sort of thing, and they've done some research that shows people are more compliant with email communication. So they've already experienced you, your services and products, your quality of service, so the decision process is so much easier for them. So what are you doing to get your clients back in the door? And that's why the 3R system is really excellent. But you need to be identifying ways to target your existing clients and get them back in to see you because they've already been satisfied with the experience. And they appreciate that. They appreciate the fact that you're doing that. When you have satisfied clients, they will become walking, talking billboards for your practice. 51% of new clients come by referral. So your clients will go out and they will talk about you. They believe in you, your services, your products, so they will voluntarily tell others about your practice. How many of you, I think I asked this earlier, but I want to see a show of hands, how many of you do referral bonus programs? Okay, so about a third of you. Does anyone want to share what they do for their referral bonus program? Okay, so he said the first referral, you get a thank you note. Second referral, they get a coffee cup with their picture of their pet on it, personalized with their pet on it. And the third referral, they get a flower arrangement or a fruit basket. And then by the fifth referral, they get dinner, gift certificate. Okay, I really like that because sometimes people give, how many of you give away your services? Not many. A couple do. That's not really good to do because it typically communicates that you're discounting your fees, so then when they do have to pay full price, that's difficult. Also, we're instant gratification society. We want instant gratification when we are rewarded something. And so when you give something extraneous from the practice, you're not pressuring them to come back in to your hospital, and you're giving them something that's, extraneous from the hospital, and you're really showing them how much you appreciate the fact that they referred their friends and family and neighbors to you. But we need to ask for those referrals. We need to have a professional engraved plate at the reception counter that actually says, we appreciate your referrals. Ask us about our referral bonus program. How many of you have something like that in place that have referral bonus? I think that's excellent. Teach your team to develop relationships with their clients. When I walked in day before yesterday, and checked in at the Hyatt, I walked up to the counter and I said, I'm Tracy Dowdy. I'm checking in for two nights. And while she was checking me in, she asked me several questions. She said, how was your flight? And I said, it was good. And she said, well, that's wonderful. And she started engaging me in conversation. Immediately I knew that she was trained to do that. You know, that was not just something she was probably doing on her own. She said, can I get someone to help you with your luggage and to carry it up to your room? And she just went out of her way to show me that she appreciated the fact that I was at the Hyatt. And she was engaging me in conversation. Well, how was the weather in Dallas? Because you're going to have wonderful weather here for the next couple of days. So she was trying to develop a rapport with me, and that's what we need to do with our healthcare team members. We need to create some standards in our hospital where we teach our team members to develop relationships with clients. We anticipate their needs, and we show them gratitude by engaging them in conversation and trying to develop a relationship with them. How many of you teach your healthcare team members to do that right now? A couple of you do. That's excellent. And differentiation doesn't have to be difficult. It can be something very simple, but you need to develop some systems that build a healthcare team focused on exceptional client service. The healthcare team can state one or two simple short sentences what makes them different than other practices. Here's some verbal statements. Something very simple like, my name is Joe. Please take the time to come to our practice anytime and to our facility. I think you'll find we have a great hospital and a great staff. I think our doctors are great. They truly care and they spend time with our clients. We want to be your pet's best friend and your other family doctor. May I mail some information about our hospital to you? So you're just letting that client know that you care and that there is something different about your hospital. And when you set standards in your practice, then your client, your healthcare team is really able to brag about the things that set you apart from other hospitals in your area. Do the unexpected again and again. Have you empowered your team? Have you empowered your healthcare team to do things over and beyond their normal job description? Have you taken the time to empower them to do that? If you haven't, you need to take that time to discuss with them what are some things that you can do to create raving fans with your clients and exceptional experiences with your clients. It becomes fun for the healthcare team to be able to do that. When they see the faces of your clients, when they are like wowed by the things that you provide in your hospital, they feel important. They feel valued in what they're doing in the practice. Yes, we are about providing high quality medical care and taking care of patients, and this is a medical facility. But there's also a part of it where it's a wellness. The majority of these patients are coming in well, they're coming in healthy, And it can be a real positive experience for these clients. And we need to get with our team members and come up with ways to provide those exceptional client experiences so they can go out and tell others about us.